Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. So I can't believe it. I mean, I can believe it, but I can't believe it, but it's also great. Today is our 100th episode, guys. I have sat here and recorded 100 of these. And, you know, the significance of it is kind of like, just when do we decide that it's time to change our lives? When? Like, we decided a million times in a million ways. And then one day we take action. You know, you always hear me say, life is a behavior modification program. We cannot think our way into better feelings. We must act our way. And I spent a lot of time feeling sorry for myself, feeling like I had the solution, feeling like I had so much to give and so much to share and nobody heard me. And then one day, well, a million days, but one specific day, I finally allowed myself to open to the possibility. Tiffany had been a fan of podcasts long before I paid attention to them. She was super obsessed with My Favorite Murder, went on and on about it all the time, loved Marc Maron, WTF, was always, anytime we watched a show or we were interested in some sort of topic, she would search podcasts and be like, I wonder if there's a podcast about it. And it's not that I poo-pooed it or like downplayed it. I was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. That's something you do. I didn't really feel like it was for me, because it just, you know, you don't realize something's for you until it's for you. And she had just been saying to me forever, Nicole, you should just do a podcast, like have a podcast, talk about your work. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, how could I even figure out what microphone to buy? Like, this is what I do. I decide that I'm unable to do something, or I stop myself from doing something because of like stupid details. I could never figure out the technology. That was it. I can never figure out the technology, so maybe just like, can we talk about it tomorrow? And you guys know what it's like when we decide, let's talk about it tomorrow. You know, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace until the last syllable of recorded time. That's Shakespeare, by the way. Thank you to my 10th grade history teacher who made me memorize the tomorrow speech. But yeah, it's just tomorrow continues to come. And nothing gets done. That's why life is a behavior modification program, because we have to act our way, not think our way, into better feelings. And my feelings are pretty freaking great right now as I record the 100th episode of my podcast, as my podcast has gone around the world, has hundreds of thousands, over 500,000 downloads, gets reviewed so beautifully. And so many people have learned of my work and are supported in the work by the podcast. So I'm psyched that I didn't continue to sit in my resistance, in my uncomfortable, creepy resistance that doesn't let me move, that holds a gun to my head and says, hey, if you're going to move, you're going to get hurt. So you better stay real still. I didn't listen to that, guys, and neither do you need to. You can move. As Rumi said, move, but don't move the way fear tells you to move. Move the way love tells you to move. Move the way caring for oneself and taking the next right considered action leads you to move. So here we are. After I moved and I shook, and here we are. 100 in. So yay, fireworks, pop the champagne, 100 episodes. So today on the podcast, we are going to talk to lovely and beautiful Monica Leah. And Monica is a person who's a member of my Journal Speak page. I don't know her personally, But she posted such an incredible post with these pictures of her beautiful children, her son and her daughter, where she took them alone on a camping trip. She lives in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, right now they are struggling with wildfires. So it's certainly not time for a camping trip in the current moment. But a couple months ago, she posted about this camping trip she took alone with her children after having been couch bound, icing her body 6 times a day prior to that, not being able to function, not being able to stand at her kitchen counter to cut vegetables for her children's dinner, absolutely in despair and depressed about it. She found this work. She did this work, and after only a couple months, she took her children alone on a solo camping trip. So Monica is still relatively new to this work. She's only been doing it for a few months, maybe even, let's see, July. It's like 2 months. But she serves as a tremendous inspiration of the mindset that you need to embrace in order to be successful with this work, and the deep understanding that chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. Chronic pain is not about something broken in your body. I promise you. Chronic pain is about the fear and the meaning that we give to the things that feel broken and the way our brain and our nervous systems jump to attention to protect us from our fear and our meaning. And that I explain over and over and over again in my work, and will continue to do so forever. So don't worry. So I'm going to get right to this interview. It's amazing and really inspirational to me. And I look forward to sharing it with you. I'll just say that if you are new to my work, just go on over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab and learn everything you need to know. Follow me on Instagram at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. I put out new content there every day and interact with my community quite a bit. And if you're enjoying the podcast and you are feeling inspired by it, if it's changing your journey, if it's helping you, please do me the heartfelt favor of going over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it. It helps people find it. It helps it come up in the ratings. And so many people need to find it. So I thank you for that. Okay. Enjoy our 100th episode, woo, with Monica and me. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am here today with Monica. Now, what I do when I'm trying to find people to interview is I like to look for stories, whether it be via email or on my Facebook group or via direct message on Instagram. When people reach out or either that or post, and I just look at the story and I'm like, my God, I would love to know more about this person. And when I saw Monica's post about this beautiful camping trip she took with her two young children and the way they spent the day and the freedom that she was living in, I just had to reach out to her and invite her on the podcast. So that's what I did. And that's all I know. So I'm really excited to hear Monica's story. So welcome, Monica, to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Nicole. It's really great to be here. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited you're here too. So I'm just going to do what I always do, which I want to hand it over to you, tell the story however you tell it, and we will take it from there.
Okay. So, let's see. I discovered TMS and mind body work. It was like early July. And it took me a little time and courage to start journaling and really dive in. But basically, this most recent bout of a flare-up of TMS involved my piriformis muscle, which is the super small muscle in your butt cheek. And I had started kind of going the conventional route of, okay, I need physical therapy, which I had been to many times, not particularly for my piriformis, but for other sort of mystery pains that I'd had over the years. So I scheduled an appointment, and this is a very, my physical therapist, a lot more of a like a Western physical therapist, very by the book. And right. At one point he said to me, wow, your psoas is really, really tight also. And I didn't think much of it until I got home later and I thought, what is the psoas? And so I looked it up, and this was like while I'm on my couch icing my back for probably the sixth time that day. And in scrolling articles on Google, because I'm like, I'm going to trust Dr. Google here.
Right. We all do.
I saw this article that said something about the psoas being like the emotional seat of our souls. And all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't physical. This is emotionally rooted. And I remember I got up and I went to the bathroom and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said to myself, you are not suffering. You are blossoming. This Aww. Is a time. This, like, your body is screaming at you. I mean, I know I kind of mentioned the piriformis, and that was where my and I still have pain today, not anything like it was at that point. But I was floored. It was like this completely, it's like everything that I had ever kind of wondered about in terms of my body. And I'd heard of like trauma and emotions being stored in the body, but I didn't really quite understand it. So in another Facebook group that's quite supportive also, I said, I'm having this experience. I'm in a tremendous amount of pain, and I think it's emotionally rooted. People, tell me what resources. And somebody suggested your podcast and your books and your website. And not too long later, and actually we almost thought about canceling a camping trip with some friends, but I decided we were going to go ahead, and I said, you know, even if I end up sitting in my chair the whole time, at least I'm outdoors and in nature. But I listened to your first podcast on the way to our camping trip. And I was, when you mentioned that you wrote down, I hate being a mother.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was like I had found, and I don't hate being a mom, by the way. I love being a mom.
And neither do I. There's a difference between journal speak and life.
Totally. Absolutely. And I had my earbuds in, and the kids are doing their thing in the back. My husband's driving. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I need more. I need more. How do I continue on in this? I didn't like the science of it. I'm just finally getting around to reading Mind Body Prescription, but the science of it didn't matter to me. I feel like I had been primed for journal speak for many years. I'm the type that, you know, the side of my bed has 7 different self-help books.
Right. So does mine.
And actually, I took Kristen Neff's Mindful Self-Compassion course about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. You're ahead of the curve.
So, of course, when I kind of saw that was like things that you recommended too, I'm like, this is so my jam. This is completely, it just felt so right. And we got back from our camping trip. And then I had a couple days later, I had a non-TMS medical procedure done, a medically necessary, I should say. And a couple days later, I was recovered. It's quite minor procedure. I remember it was like thinking about my first journaling session there was so much energy built up into it. But I was so excited because when I heard the approach of discarding getting rid of, destroying, right, whatever you're going to do. Something inside me clicked. I had never given myself that freedom and that permission to be raw. And I think I was always just so worried that somebody was going to find my journal.
Yeah, man. It's a real worry.
Right? And actually, about 6 months ago, I found a bunch of old journals and I ripped out a bunch of pages because I was that scared. I was like, I can't let anybody see this stuff. Like, some of it was kind of raw also. And so I remember just sitting down and I couldn't even get through the full 20 minutes without a huge breakthrough and flood of emotions. And I was about halfway through and I just broke down. I was sobbing, but it wasn't sobbing out of fear. There was so much love in there. It felt so good. And I did like a quick little soothing and then I got right back to it. And I will say that since July 23rd, I have probably missed 2 days.
That's pretty impressive.
It which is crazy to try and do with 2 kids in the house and a dog and, you know, pandemic.
And we're I was going to say, and COVID.
Yeah, we're home all the time. And then we just had to spend, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and we just had to spend almost a week and a half inside our homes because our air quality was so bad from all of the fires. And
right.
So, but I will say that, and it wasn't too long. Okay, so I started journaling, and for the first couple weeks, that's all I did. I didn't even really listen to many more podcasts. I don't even think I joined your Facebook group right away either. I'm pretty empathic, so I can sometimes take on too much in terms, right, of other people's stuff. I actually skip a lot of the personal stories on your podcast because I just relate so much and I generally flare up while I'm listening to other people's stories, even if they have positive outcomes in the end. So I'm still waiting, like testing out those waters a little bit. But I did listen to the last one with Robin and I fell in love with him.
I know. He's like the most adorable, lovely thing.
Oh my gosh. And I'm trying to remember what – I think I had just been talking to a friend at some point and she mentioned taking her son camping. And I was like – why can't I do that? And of course, like the brain was like, because you're hurting and because you're in pain, you can't go camping by yourself with your kids. That's crazy. And I got so motivated by that, the own disbelief that I had in myself, that I went over to my computer and I'm like, I'm going to find a campsite and I'm going to do this. And I did. And, you know, of course, there was all of these feelings about, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to do this? And what if I just can't? And at one point I thought, well, if I can't, I just put everything back into the car and I come home.
Exactly. And that's the attitude. However this goes, it's okay for me.
I definitely identify with a lot of that perfectionism, which I'm still kind of like, there's a part of my brain that's like, you're not trying to be perfect, but I know better. it had to be this particular way and it had to look a certain way. And I just kind of said, okay, we're going to go and we're going to see where the chips fall and see how they go. And I did it. I got all of the camping gear together and I packed up the car. I did all the grocery shopping for it. I did it all. My husband works a whole lot. So and there was a part of me that didn't even want to ask him for help. There was a point where he's like, well, I can, you know, just working in the basement, but I can come up and help you load the car. And I'm like, nope, I got this. I am going to do this. And we set off on our camping trip, and we got to our campsite, and the kids ran around, and I set everything up, and we had a campsite right next to this little creek, and we went and skipped rocks. The creek was so cold, so there was no swimming or anything. And then the next day, we headed up the road a little ways and took a nice little hike to a waterfall. And then we came back and just ran around and made s'mores and went back to the creek again. And then the next morning, we had to pack up and go, but we decided to stop at a state park near our house and find some more waterfalls. And actually, that hike was close to 2.5 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. With a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I did it. And I had pain. But the pain, and I know I said this in my Facebook post, when I feel pain now, I don't immediately go to fear.
Right.
Because that's exactly what got me here in the first place. I try to go through the lens of love, and that has helped tremendously. So there was a lot of pain. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, so you, and I love that you started here, because I think that so often my interviews are like, let's go super dark and let's go till, you know, the edge of the darkness, and then let's go to the light. And you kind of just started with the light, which is really beautiful. So I love that. But I do want to ask, paint us a picture of where you were pre-July, because I got the sense when I read your post that this triumphant camping trip was really a triumph as it compared to the way you were living before.
Totally. So this recent flare-up of TMS, and maybe I should go back even further. Through my Journal Speak practice, I have really taken the time to connect with my inner child like I have never before. I thought I had been doing inner child work before here and there, but I think the consistency and the dedication to doing it, to doing the Journal Speak practice, has completely changed my definition of inner child work. When I was born, I was actually born almost a month early. I had a very compromised birth. It was a very traumatic event for myself and my family. I was not breathing. I had to be resuscitated. I was in the NICU for 11 days. And even when I came home, I had to be on a breathing monitor. And it was, my mom actually just told me the whole story again, so it's kind of nice to have it sort of fresh. But and then my food allergies started when I was an infant. And I know that that's quite common for infants. But when I think back on my life, I see this blanket of TMS. I suffered from multiple rounds of tonsillitis when I was a child. I was always getting sick. I always just had a hard time managing through stuff. And I'm one of 5 kids, I'm the second of 5 kids. So my household growing up was busy. We moved around a lot. There was a lot of, we weren't military. My dad did independent contracts for a long time. He was an engineer. It was a loving home, but it was also stressful. And so I just had always had tummy issues and then like throat issues. And when I was talking to my husband, I think the first like physical, like muscular pain thing that happened was right after I finished my graduate degree. So I have a K-8 elementary special education background. That's what my license is in. And when I finished graduate school and got my teaching license, there were hardly any teaching jobs. And I ended up taking a job that I was overqualified for. I ended up being a classroom assistant again, which I had done for many, many years. And I had so much shame around that.
And probably anger too.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I'm like, yeah. Did I just spend how much money on a teaching license to get paid like $13 an hour? What is happening here? Yeah, a lot of shame, a lot of anger. But on the outside, I wasn't letting anybody know about my shame and anger. I was putting on a smile and showing up at work every day.
That's what we do.
And I started getting this lower back pain. And I remember one time driving home from work. They sent me home at one point because I just was unfunctional as a staff member. And they said, you need to go home. You're not like, thank you for trying, but you need to go get well. And that was the first time that I had dove into physical therapy. And it wasn't too long after that, I actually did get a teaching job. And miraculously, my back got better.
Shocker.
Right? And then I didn't have any other major like physical TMS stuff until after I had kids. And of course, it was all hip related. Not of course, but it was all hip related. And I was blaming it on pregnancies. Like, oh, this is just pregnancies do crazy things to bodies. And my hips are all messed up because the babies that I carried. But now I know that it was definitely TMS. And parenting is so stressful and so hard. Despite its beautiful moments, it is a hard, hard job. And I should also add that I have struggled with IBS. I was mentioning tummy issues, but it got really bad at points in my life where, I went to functional medicine doctors and took all of the supplements and herbs and elimination diets. And I have, and always just like wanting to get better and finding Band-Aids in life to put on my wound.
Right.
And then this recent TMS flare-up, which led me to Journal Speak and to you, I started feeling it in January. And I should also say that I started EMDR therapy in January for some past trauma. And it was interesting. And now it kind of makes sense. I really think that that what was being stirred up in EMDR didn't know where else to go. So it attached right to my piriformis. And mid-March, my birthday's in mid-March. This was right as COVID was really starting to heat up and things were starting. Everybody was kind of scrambling, like, what do we do? Do we shut things down? Anyway, we had a trip to the Oregon coast set up. And we decided to go ahead with it. We brought some extra food so we wouldn't have to go eat out and made all of these sort of extra accommodations so that we could still go enjoy the coast, despite the fact that like the state was pretty much shutting down. And we were driving to the coast and I finally said it out loud. I have this butt thing to my husband, I'm telling him. I have this like butt muscle thing and it's just it's just kind of annoying, but it's been getting worse. And he was like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. And then we went on our trip. It was lovely. We came home. School was canceled. Nobody's going to work. We had to figure out, you know, my husband working in the basement and where are the kids going to do their schoolwork. And so there was a lot of stress. There was a lot going on. I know everybody experienced some level of change and stress during early COVID shutdowns. But that was really when it started intensifying. And I think it was about like early May, I started, okay, well, I'm going to try stretching this. And let me look up some yoga poses for piriformis muscle. And let me try this. And I started getting really aggressive with the foam roller and just really just trying to manage it. And it was getting worse and worse.
Yes. And oh, worse. This is such a common, you're like singing the song.
And it was like end of June. I just one day I was like, I can't do this. I need help. I need a physical therapist. I am in so much pain. I was, you know, here we are like trying to wrap up the school year and I'm literally on my back on my couch 4 to 6 times a day icing. I was doing like the regimen of aspirin and ibuprofen and trying to manage the inflammation and standing is actually a huge way that my symptoms will sort of exasperate themselves. So I was finding that I would grab all of my, like at dinner time, I'd grab all of the vegetables and stuff and take them to the counter and chop them up sitting at my bar table instead of standing.
And that generates so much fear.
Oh, so much.
Yes.
So much. Because it was like, okay, here we are. It's summer. It's amazing in the Pacific Northwest. How am I going to do anything?
Yeah.
How am I going to be a mom?
What will become of me?
Right. It was pretty gloomy.
It's dark. It's dark.
Awful. It was awful. And I've got this, you know, my dog isn't even 2 years old. He needs tons of exercise and, you know, energy expenditure. My kids are young. They need tons of exercise and energy expenditure. I enjoy exercise and energy expenditure. And I felt so hopeless. I felt hopeless. I felt like I was failing everybody. I was forgetting things. I was snappy with my children and my husband. I was snappy with myself. I couldn't think past the end of my nose. It was like completing a task required so much mental, so much thinking. How am I going to do that? And how am I going to move my body? And so much protection of that pain. You know, I wouldn't bend over certain ways. I wouldn't reach down in certain ways. I actually got one of those, you know, those grabber things.
You got a claw?
Yes.
Oh, honey.
So I could,
you got the claw.
I was at the claw. I was at that point. So I could pick up things off the ground because every time I bent over, I thought I was going to pass out. And at one point I'm like, gosh, maybe I should go like get some painkillers from my doctor. And then I'm like, but what's that going to do? Like, ultimately, what is that going to do? That's not going to do much. And then that's just going to run the risk of
making you a drug addict.
Exactly. Right. And so that's all fear-based too. And it was just, there was so many spirals. There were so many downward spirals. And finally, I remember calling around to physical therapy offices. Literally, I didn't even care who the person was. I was like, Who has the first appointment available? Who? Who can help me the quickest? Because I was desperate. I was so incredibly desperate. I did eventually move over to a yoga-based physical therapist, and he's really groovy, and he was awesome and super supportive of the mind-body stuff, which was really nice. I actually did my last appointment last week, and pretty much I said, you know, I think that I need to focus on another, like this more mind body approach. And I appreciate what you've done for me, but I think that the healing needs to happen somewhere else.
Yeah. Most people tell me that the last 10% of their pain or so goes when they stop physical therapy.
Yeah.
When they stop anything physical, because it's not a physical, it's showing up physically, mm-hmm. and it's 100% real and it is excruciating, but with an emotional genesis,
yep.
you can't solve an emotional problem with a physical solution. So I actually do believe in physical therapy as long as people know 100% that they do have a mind-body issue, but they're using the physical therapy as a way to not be alone, to be supported, to feel like they are in action, but knowing all the while what's really going on and doing the emotional work side by side. And then when they're at the point like you are, where you're basically well, you're just having regular human pain,
yeah.
but you need to complete basically rewiring those neural pathways that you're well and you're fine. It is. I'm so psyched that you're saying this, because it is better to just put a gentle end to that physical therapy and that physical cause kind of relationship.
Yes. And I so appreciated hearing that in your podcasts and in your Facebook group and on your Instagram account. I started when I read that, like, you know, it's not recommended to continuing, you know, your treatments and stuff. And I remember somebody saying, well, how do you view it? You know, are you viewing it as what's going to make you better, or are you using it as like a supplement, like to bring ease to your life? Like, are you getting that massage because you think it's going to get rid of your pain, or are you getting that massage because it's self-care and it feels good?
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yes.
what's your intention behind your action? And I had a really great mind shift about that. And it was great. He did a lot of myofascial release. So I would just lay there, and he was super relaxing to be able to leave the house and go somewhere, lay on his super comfy table and have him do myofascial release for 45 minutes. It was.
I want to go.
Right. Help. It was a treat. I don't get out of the house too much. So it was a big treat. But I also know that it wasn't, you know, I would now I'm like, oh, I think I would rather find an hour to go do something else. I'd rather go on a hike, or I'd rather,
right.
you know, call a friend and have a chat for an hour as opposed to, you know, so that sort of stuff. Yeah. So did I answer your question?
You did. No, that was beautiful. This is like so great. You're really kind of chumming the waters for me, because what I would like people to get from what you're saying, because what I'm getting from what you're saying is, guys, chronic pain is an epidemic of fear.
Yeah.
Period. The end.
Yep.
I know it shows up in your body. And like I always want to say, it's written on the homepage of my website, the pain is not in your head, but the solution is not in your body. Mm-hmm. The solution will become evident in your body,
yeah.
once you understand that it's an emotionally rooted solution. But your fear, just the whole trajectory of you having this pain. And I often hear people say that they have buttock pain. Mm-hmm. I've not often heard someone actually be as technical as the piriformis. Is that what you said?
Yeah. And you know what's piriformis? Funny? It's technically called piriformis syndrome, because I was having like
sciatic. They gave you a syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Nothing like getting a syndrome.
I was just telling my husband this last night. I said, it's amazing how many syndromes fall under the umbrella of mind body, like under TMS. It is mind blowing to me.
I mean, the truth of the matter is most things. And let's, of course, eliminate things like having a cancerous mole removed or any sort of a tumor or, you know, they're obviously, or an infection, a bacterial infection that requires antibiotics. I am not anti-medication. I am not anti-medical model. I'm not anti-surgical model. When it is something that is necessary to heal your body because there's either a bacteria that's eating you away or there's like a foreign, you know, something that needs to be removed. Yeah. But most, I would say 95% of things that are called syndromes that have condition names and diagnoses are rooted in our fear.
Yeah.
Our meaning, our shame, our anger that take the nervous system from rest and repair to fight or flight.
Yep.
And as soon as we are in that sustained, chronic, stressful situation, the heart can only hold so much of that energy, which is probably what was happening at the beginning of your EMDR, mm-hmm. is you are stirring up some stuff. There's only so much we can hold in our actual conscious heart space, which I would call our feelings, our sentient feelings. So we have to repress. Fine. It's totally adaptive. We repress what we can't currently handle, but that will reach critical mass. And when that amount of fear and shame and regret and embarrassment and anger and rage and trauma, all those things, when they reach critical mass, they start to spill over into the consciousness. The brain goes haywire because it cannot handle feeling that amount of stuff. It feels like that would be a risk to your life because right now your life is comprised of your physical life and also taking care of two young people and showing up in the world as a teacher and a wife and being the mother of a dog. That's your life. And if your brain and your nervous system perceive that you, Monica, will not be able to live your life, that is tantamount to death. And when it is threatened the way it would be threatened in our most, you know, primitive ways, it will do anything to protect you. And these conditions, these syndromes, these symptoms are a perfect protection because look where it kept you.
Yep.
Small and safe and on the couch and not putting yourself into the big bad world where you could get triggered. And it's just happening all the time, basically to everyone.
Yep. Yep. And it's funny. I think that I've kind of stopped telling people what I'm doing because it comes with so much. I think that just the phrase psychosomatic has such a negative connotation culturally.
I never use that phrase. It's too much.
Because of that, right? I mean, it's so it's viewed in – it's like we've created these pains and that's not what it is. And so sometimes I find myself getting annoyed when people, you know, respond with, well, I have an actual injury. Like, okay. And I've had actual injuries too. But it's fine. This – I don't have to really even share it with anyone. And I think that that's also one of the things that journal speak has really done for me in terms of having conversations with my inner child. I realize how codependent I've been in my life and how much validation I've been seeking from everybody. And that it doesn't matter. I mean, I love my people and I don't necessarily feel like I need that validation as much as I used to. There's a lot of uncovering that's happened. It's been really amazing. It's been a really amazing journey. And I know I'm not done at all because I'm still having pain. And but my attitude, love pain for you, love Dan. He's so great. I love the idea of like, indifference of like,
yes,
just
so let's talk about that because not everybody hearing this will know. Talk to me about what indifference to the pain feels like to you. What does it sound like to you?
So when I, let's say I'm standing in my kitchen chopping vegetables, and my piriformis muscle, my butt, starts kind of tightening up and clenching. I've shifted from this, oh my gosh, I need to sit down. I can't stand here. I'm not going to be able to finish these veggies. Like, this is going to be, this is just so hard to do, to, oh, hi. Yep. There you are. Nice right. to see you. I can't get to you right now. I see that you're screaming for my attention.
Right.
And I've got these vegetables to chop, and then the kids need dinner and bath and bed. So I'll get to you later this evening. But more of like, I don't know. It's just a release of the fear.
It's magic is what it is, guys. It's the magic bullet here, because what people don't understand is, since chronic pain is an epidemic of fear, when you're not scared of it, it goes and lays down.
Mm-hmm. I've been using the Curable app a little bit. I'm trying not to get too, you know, there's so many resources, and I love that there's so many resources. And also, I don't have time for all of the resources, unfortunately. But I love the one where they're talking about replacing, like, your pain with another name.
Right.
I think in the little audio, they talk about it, banana, maybe.
Like, yeah, they give it a name.
Yeah. And I love that mind shift of, it's just this thing. It's just
the bananas in your butt are acting up.
Sure, I'll let you say.
No, but like for real, here's the thing. I think that anything we can do to shift our mindset away from this clenching fear around being damaged and about the whole "what will become of me" thought pattern, mm-hmm. which many, many, many of us had. I certainly had it in the height of my chronic pain. What kind of parent am I going to be? What kind of partner am I going to be? Right now, pelvic pain is a huge problem for so many women. Is my partner going to leave me?
Right.
You know, there's so much meaning that we pile on. And another thing that I want to highlight about what you said is, you said, I don't really feel comfortable always talking about this because I don't want people to give me the side eye with the whole psychosomatic. And I was about to jump in and say, no, let me help you. Let me help you reframe how you can talk to people, because you can use the brain science and it's not psychosomatic, and psychosomatic intimates the pain is in your head, which it isn't. So I was about to launch into that whole thing. And then you said something even smarter, which stopped me, which is, and I will translate what I heard you say, which is, but that's part of my journey.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is, I'm super codependent. So part of my particular journey is to figure out that I don't need to find words to talk to people about this. That actually, what is mine is mine.
Yep.
And I don't have to show up in a certain way in order to get other people to approve of me. So that's even a bigger lesson than getting the right words around it, you know? And I mean, obviously, having said that, there's nothing to be ashamed of by talking about this, because this is more scientific than surgery, legitimately. Anyone who understands brain science would agree with me. Having said that, though, you are definitely on this journey to crack open the most important parts of your life, which is your relationship with yourself.
Yep. Hands down. I'm going to dare say this. I'm grateful. For my PMS.
Oh God, everyone says that eventually. Go for it. Let's dare. Do it.
So awesome. You know, the freedom of getting out the yuckiest of thoughts and feelings and scenarios and all the things that I wish I had said in hard times, or just, you know, I have journal speaked about everything from childhood stuff to how people drive to,
yeah.
I just, it's so freeing to be able to say it out loud. I mean, on paper, And really, the only person that needs to hear this stuff is me.
Right.
And I'm just so grateful that I finally came to the point where I was given that freedom. Like this, okay, you don't have to tell your therapist, and you can, but you don't have to. And actually, the last EMDR session I had, my therapist is, by the way, blown away by what's happening.
Awesome. Like, I love it.
Yeah. He's now a Sarno fan, which he'd never really heard. He'd kind of in passing had heard of Sarno and mind body work, but I think I might be one of his first clients to really dive in and be doing the two simultaneously. So I'm just, yeah, it's a really great practice and something that I look forward to every day. I finally, when I first started journal speaking, I was just like, okay, I'm going to put something on for the kids to watch and I'm going to be able to do this. But actually in the last couple of weeks, I've developed, an early morning journal speak practice, which is really hard for me because I'm not a morning person. I'm the kind of mom that the kids come and snuggle with me in bed and wake me up. So that's been a little hard to get used to. And now the kids like come downstairs and they're like, why aren't you in bed? I'm trying to remember where I was listening to something and they were talking about finding your why. Like, why do you want to do stuff? Maybe it was it your Gabby Bernstein episode?
It's possible. I've done so many podcasts and also been interviewed so many places. I don't even remember, but I love that concept of finding your why. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. It was the holistic psychologist. Do you know her?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know her personally, but I know her work.
You guys should get together because you're both Nicoles.
Yes.
She's awesome too. Yeah, I was watching one of her little IGTV things and she was like, you know, one of the best ways to cultivate a new practice is finding your why. Like, why do you want to change this about your life? Why do you want this habit, and start with one habit or one personality trait or whatever it is, one thing, and focus on that. But you really have to know why. If you don't have a clear why, you're not going to follow through. And I grabbed myself a little post-it and I put it next to my bed and I said why. My whys are self-care, quiet time, journal time, model for my children, because I'm worthy, ease the morning to-do list, my mental health and my physical health.
Wow. Great list.
Bed. Thank you. It sits next to my bed. And when I wake up in the morning and I hit that snooze button and I really want to just like – throw the covers back over my head, that why is staring me in the face and it's really hard to ignore.
That's so amazing. Is everybody listening? That is such a great thing to do. Just stick that post-it right next to your face because we always need to be reminded because resistance to the process is just another form of TMS.
Yes.
You know, us thinking that I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I have better things to do, this is boring, it's not helping me. Those thoughts are actually your brain and your nervous system saying, danger, danger, don't feel your feelings, can't go here. You know, that's what it's happening. So if you can look at something concrete like that and be like, no, thank you for sharing, nervous system who loves me and wants me to be safe. I know better. I'm the parent here. Mm-hmm. I am the confident, competent, calm parent who says, thank you for sharing, sweet love. I'm going to go do what I need to do now.
I have to tell you a funny symptom imperative that I'm having right now.
Okay.
My wrist. My wrist.
Very normal. Very normal.
And like, what a direct signal from the brain to the body. Like,
yes,
I'm going to mess with your wrist so that it is hard to write because it knows.
I have had people tell me that all the time, my hands, my fingers, my wrist. And I say, oh, it's okay. Like people who get it really extremely, usually it's like their presenting symptom. And I say, just speak it slowly and mindfully into your phone for 20 minutes until you convince your brain and your nervous system that you're doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. And they always come to me and they're like, yeah, I can type now or I can write now.
Yep. And it happened like really early in my journal speak practice. My wrist started hurting and I pushed through, not even at that point, I didn't even know what symptom imperatives were. I had no idea. And I just was like, no, this is, I'm going to keep pushing through. Like there's no way that I'm going to stop. And I powered through and I had a big breakthrough and my wrist got better. My butt cheek got better. Yeah, but I am technically having a flare up right now. But I think that that's not surprising. We just started online school, fully online. I have a kindergartner and a first grader. So
yeah, there's a that, that'll do it.
And then just, you know, just the recent, like our recent wildfires here in our area, there's something really, I mean, this is, and it's so funny because I'm like, this is when the brain should be scared, like walking outside and the air is so thick with smoke that I can barely see half a block down my street.
Wow.
That's intense. And
yeah,
but mixed with everything else, no wonder I had a flare up. Like it was scary and it's still scary. We actually have a little smoke in the air today and then our air quality has gone down again.
Well, let me just say this, because I think you bring up a really important point. Once again, sometimes we feel things in our heart and sometimes we feel things in our body. Yeah. They're literally interchangeable. If you're having big feelings right now, just let it flow because it's going to go into your body and you're going to go, yeah, yeah, I don't need it there. It's okay. I can feel it all. And as soon as, and that's really, you're very, very new to this work.
Yes.
You know, it's only been a few months for you.
Yes.
And so what's really beautiful is how far you've come and how much insight you obviously were primed for this with the 7 self-help books next to your bed. You know, you're not new to the concept of this stuff. But the thing is, it's like, as soon as we accept that as no big deal, and as soon as that's not a problem, it's not called a flare-up anymore.
Yeah.
It's called feeling things. Mm-hmm. And I would actually invite you to take that word and just toss it in the garbage. I don't like the word flare-up. This is life. This is human life.
Yeah.
I am the literal guru of this shit. I know it inside and out. I never prepare for an interview ever. I am completely comfortable with my knowledge about this 100%. And I still get pain.
Yeah.
Plenty of times, you know, during the quarantine, I was having terrible knee pain because I started a running routine because it was the only thing to do. and of course, then I just had to look down at my knees and go, hey guys, I get it. This makes total sense. Stay as long as you need. I'm still going to go running. And of course it passed within like 3 or 4 days. But normally what a normal person would do, because I'm clearly not normal, is they would say, oh shit, you know, everyone always says running is bad for your knees. Obviously, I've really done it now. Now what am I going to do? I don't even have an outlet. I can't stand being in my house with my family. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And of course, that's going to make the, I mean, that person in this scenario is having a knee replacement by now.
Yeah.
And so, and that is not hyperbolic. Like this is happening all the time. Whereas my knee pain was gone within the week because it wasn't a flare up. It was just, I'm feeling things. There's big stuff going on. I'm trying to deal with it in a rather desperate way. I've never been a runner and I was like, I'm running now. And like, that was just the way I handled it. And it actually like was very short-lived because I hated running and now I ride my bike every day. But the point I'm saying is if we can normalize that we live in a mind-body system and where we feel things is kind of immaterial, then we can start to not label things as negative. You're not either fine or you're in flare up. You're a human being living a normal life. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. This too shall pass, both good and bad. And like, whatever.
Difference. Thank you so much for that. Cause I, and it's so funny because here I am like eating my own words. Just last night, my husband and I were having a big conversation about mind body stuff. I'm trying to get him on board. I'm trying so hard. Not to the point of perfectionism, but, you know, I'm dropping a lot of hints. And I was mentioning my wrist and he said, oh, you're giving yourself carpal tunnel. And I said, which is TMS, by the way.
Right. Right.
But, and I look, and I was telling him and I said, I think it's such a disadvantage that culturally we look at the mind and the body as two separate things. And even though we all know that they're connected, right? Like, why don't we refer to just our bodies as mind body? Like, I know. And thank you for reminding me that. Like, I literally, like, you helped put that puzzle piece in there by suggesting that I throw the word flare up in the garbage, because yeah, I am just feeling things, and I am a deep
normal.
Feeler. Yes, totally. Amazing. I am a deep feeler. I mentioned earlier, I'm super empathic. I have to be very careful about what I watch and how much time I spend around certain personalities. And but it's taken me, I'm 42. It's taken me 42 years to even start figuring this stuff out. But I love that that idea that this is just feelings, and
yeah,
that's a good, excellent reminder.
And it goes hand in hand with your little conversation you had with your butt in the kitchen while chopping vegetables. Like, it's cool, man. Yeah, we're just all here for the big show. It's fine. Like, you know, you feel this, I feel this, you know, and it's just kind of normalizing it. It's the recipe for the rest of your life, to be honest, because, you know, I'm raising kids too, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my oldest is a freshman in college. My youngest is in seventh grade. And, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. There's always going to be something. And, you know, even for people who aren't parents, there's always going to be something. It's called life.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, although there is a cure for chronic pain, there is no cure for the human condition. So the sooner that we just accept that we feel things big, we feel things in our body, we feel things in our mind, it's just being human. Like, I would love it, and maybe this is going to evolve someday, where we don't even need to use, like you just said, mind-body medicine or the mind-body connection. It's just yourself, your humanity, your humanness, like whatever word seems to fit. You know, it's kind of like the joke about how like gay marriage got passed, and people are like, yeah, but isn't it like just marriage? Yeah. You know, like, why does it have to be labeled? If something is normal, it's just normal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that I'm glad that it came up here, because I think that's going to be really important for you.
Yes, it is. And I know, and, you know, and kind of going back to my Facebook post, my kids have watched all of this. My kids have... Man, I get a little overwhelmed sometimes when I think back to how things were. I mean, they were watching me really struggle. They watched me on the couch. They watched me in tears. They watched me not being able. And at that point, there was a lot that, you know, my husband's working downstairs. He cannot step away from his Zoom calls to come and manage kids. There was too much screen time because I had literally very little ways of coping. And so not only did they see me in this extremely hard place in my life, they also see me now. And it's
honestly awesome.
Journal Speak has completely, at this point, saved the relationship that I was having with my kids. And myself, but and that, I think I've talked about that enough. I obviously, you know, when you're laying on the couch and thinking about, oh, my PT suggested, you know, cortisone shots, and my doctor signed off on it, and all I have to do is make that appointment and go. There's so much fear and doom, and I was, you know. I know my son, my older child, is quite empathic also. And I, you know, even trying to, for lack of a better word, manage him during all of this became really, really hard. And thank you for sharing, by the way, on one of your podcasts, you mentioned your son's challenges. And my son also has, he's already been diagnosed with ADHD. He has some sensory stuff going on since he was really little. I just felt like we were going in such a negative way It was such a negative path, and it was just filled with so much uncertainty. They never knew what kind of mood I was going to be in. And that's not the case these days. It's so much more relaxed around our house. I still have my moments where I'm like, what is going on? You know?
Yeah. Well,
we were inside for like 9 days, which was
that's crazy.
It was way harder than even like early COVID lockdown, because we couldn't go outside. And it's not like you can go to somebody else's house either. Right? Like,
yeah, true.
It was very hard. But I feel like we are in this repair mode, and not just like me repairing myself, but I'm repairing my relationship with them, and they are picking up on journal speak methods. They're drawing out feelings. My daughter, I remember one point I wasn't quite finished journaling, and she came over and was like, what are you doing? You know, I want to do what you're doing. So I gave her some paper and I gave her some colored pencils and stuff, and I said, I'm writing about my anger. If you want to join me, nice. You want to join me, sit down, draw something or whatever, write something that has made you angry. And she already knew that. I'm not doing it now because I'm so scared about like catching something on fire, but I was burning all of my journals out in a little ceramic dish in the backyard. So she knew I was already burning my journals after I was done. And she got really excited about contributing to the ash pile. I mean, she was just thrilled.
Of course. She could, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So cathartic to burn anger. That's what we say, burning our anger. It's interesting. My daughter, she's more like she'll come and sit and do her own drawing of scenarios or situations. But my son is more like, I have to use it in real time with him. Like he uses it more as like if he's having a particularly hard moment, I'll use it as a tool for bringing him down, and he just sits there and he draws out the whole scenario. He adds words, and we talk about feeling words, like talk about just like in the journal. Like if I find that I'm journaling and it's like blah blah blah, and then this happened, blah blah blah, and then that happened, I'm like, nope, get back to the feeling. What was I feeling in that moment? And man, he talked about this one scenario at school so many times. And he journal speaked it one day, and that was, I don't know, probably like a month ago, and he hasn't brought it up since.
Wow. Well, you know what I want to invite you to do, because I think this is a really fruitful conversation that we obviously don't have time for right now. As you continue to walk through your life with your practice and your kids, I would love it if at some point in the future we could come back together and just specifically do a podcast on what it means to bring this to our children.
Yeah.
Maybe like as you gather experiences like this by living it out with your own kids, because I could certainly contribute with my experiences with my kids, would be a really great discussion because it's so important.
Yes. Because
we're creating Generation Zero. We're creating kids who will not think that these pains in their body are negative.
Yep.
They're information, they're invitations. We can deal with them and they can pass.
Yeah. Yes. And I know somebody on the Facebook group said, you know, like something like, it was just like, you're raising this amazing thing. And I'm like, it feels a little like the weight of the world. When I hear things like that, I appreciate it. And also, you know, it's hard to get, I guess, compliments.
Well, there's more of your work to do because you are doing it.
Yes, I would love to talk more about kids. I'm, you know, a teacher at heart and on paper. Actually, I did leave the formal teaching world when I got pregnant with my son. So I've been away for a little bit, but I've still done some tutoring in the meantime, and I still have a great connection with kids. And I just think children are amazing and super. And to not have this, I don't know, if I had been given more freedom as a child to express my feelings, not that I think that things, I mean, I'm grateful for where I'm at, but it would have been really nice to discover myself a little bit more sooner in life.
Oh, for sure. Well, listen, Monica, I have so enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it as well.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, this has been so great. I hope that you got your little gold nuggets out of this for your own life and your own practice. And as always, if this podcast is helping you or meaning anything to you, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast, people like Monica, people like me, and people like you who need it. All right. Until next week, this has been the 100th episode of The Cure for Chronic Pain, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.